say it's horrible.
That would be how my panel was. I'll say it was a fiasco. It's exactly as it was this
Talk to the wife. He said she's looking forward to getting married.
I didn't ask
you
anything they wanted.
At least we're setting things up.
Where's Apple
on? I'm not even on the damn list. Greg gave me this morning.
Did I?
Where's Alkali? That's a good question.
The bar.
I looked out
when
I was walking up here, and I saw Pandez wearing Alkali's coat.
I
thought, gee, I should message Alkali, and then Pandez said, I have Alkali's phone. And Pandez giggled.
That's lovely, lovely people.
Does Alkali have his?
No.
Does Alkali have pants on?
That's a loaded fucking question. Is Alkali clothed?
Wait, who left
Tim Edsel start time. I know it's supposed to be me, Alkali, Ash, and I think we yanked in one of the vice chairs from Furthermore. So, but not the one everybody's thinking of, the other one.
I like that one.
Fuck up. We yanked in the vice chair from Insert Con name. Yay! You don't know who I mean. So, like I arrived to all these panels early. I'm the only responsible fucker here. Oh, look! You're still early. It's okay.
I know I'm early.
We got everybody but Alkali.
He's coming to the other panel now.
Right, he's gonna have fun because you know how many elevators are running in the Westin?
One.
Yep.
What happened to the others?
What happened to the other elevators? Do not know.
I do.
Here's what I can say. When I pressed the button and it said, high traffic, try again in 30 seconds, I went, fuck it. The next one that comes, I'm getting on. And eventually, it'll take me to the lobby. Oh, we got both the vice chairs for Furthermore. That's just fucking terrifying.
No, I'm the ops director. He is my boss.
What's that terrifying is the stories I'm going to tell.
Oh, God, I was you.
You did. You got to be me this year because of the head.
I got a question.
Yes?
Are you accepting stories from the audience?
No. So, we will, however, I have a story that I will tell if somehow you donate $100 to charity. It is a story that I normally would never tell. It costs you $100.
Quick, someone give them $100.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here's the
behind us.
Okay.
Here's the rule is we're not taking your money until the charity guy's here. You know why we're not taking your money until the charity guy's here? Because I don't want to be accused of stealing charity money.
Like that hasn't happened at a con.
Do you see this QR code I'm holding up?
No.
You should. If you scan this code with your phone, it'll take you to the charity's link to actually donate directly, or you can also set up a recurring donation if you want to be asking for your taxes. That's our charity. It's a 501c3. Hey, I'm really good at this. I have been in charity today.
I'm not working.
You might have to actually come up and scan it.
I have a better idea. Why don't you pass the QR code around?
Because I'm lazy.
You want me to come get it?
It's not a good excuse.
Somebody come up here and grab it. I'm dead.
Yes, I know. I'm missing the cat.
So we're still waiting for Alkali, but it's okay because he has 5 minutes.
I do not fix this after effing buddies, Mike. And you don't want me talking into him.
He will not need a mic. He will not need a mic.
I really don't.
Alkali won't need a mic.
When I first met Alkali, I just heard him from down the hall, like on the stage or something, and he was being his usual self, and I'm like, am I in there?
So yesterday morning, I had asked Alkali on Thursday night, I said, hey, I got shit to do on Friday mornings. Do me a favor. Give me a call at about 9 a.m. Make sure I'm up. And he said, oh, yeah, sure, fine. And he set an alarm and left my room and went back to his hotel room. And at 9 a.m., he called me, and I said, I am awake, I am showered, I am getting coffee, and I am heading out. He said, wonderful, I'm going to get back into the shower with my new friend. And hung up the fucking phone. None of you motherfuckers offered to shower with me. This is no great team panel. I get to say shit like that. I spend the whole fucking day just sitting there like, cannot cuss, it's Anthrocon. Cannot cuss, it's Anthrocon. Except when I'm on the
jury where we apparently just didn't fucking care.
Well, no.
Why did he start that, Chris did?
Chris didn't care.
I will throw them on.
There is a difference between us not caring and you not caring. The main exception, though, is surprisingly main stage. Did anybody catch our stuff on main stage last night? Do you know how we judge how far we can go with our act on main stage? We wait to see if Kanye drops an F-bomb. And once that, don't you fucking touch the mic while I'm in the middle of talking. The moment that Kanye drops an F-bomb, we go, all bets are off now. We had a nice clean set up, and then Kanye cursed twice, so you all got fucking White Castles. Now you can take the mic.
No, I'm good. I'll just speak up.
I feel really bad for her having to say everything that we're saying.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit, we have an ASL interpreter.
I'm just going to say, she's still smiling. I already love her.
Don't tell Vic, but she's my favorite.
What did you make the Spider-Wife kids out of?
Say what?
What did you make the kids out of?
The kids? Who said kids?
You got
Slider. No, there were no kids. We didn't have Slider. Like, you can't get smaller than a slider.
Oh,
what? Literally the smallest unit of food that I'll buy. We're still waiting for Alkali. He has 1 minute.
I just donated 20.
If you want to take that position, you are more than welcome to take that position.
Oh, damn it!
However, I would like to point out that Convention War Stories is a panel that I've done in multiple conventions over the past several years.
And
I am fucking tired.
Good. And also, someone just donated $100.
Okay.
All right.
You saved the charity stories till towards the end. You know why?
Did they put more money in?
Yeah, fucking exactly.
The more money you raise, the more interesting the story.
What if someone pays $1 million?
Oh,
and the charity will die. Because they'll die of shock.
Even in an 18-plus panel, I'm not
allowed to say. If somebody donates $1 million to the charity, Sparf will blow you. Come on, sign it. I need to know the sign.
Buddy, not in my bed.
Sparf will blow you. We're going to have so much fun at your convention this year now that I know that.
For science.
What I enjoy is that I know why she did it that way, because I do sign. And I so appreciate this.
Oh, look, it's faux alkali. I was telling them that I could send Adeline a message on his phone, but you had it.
I do.
How much would have been Alkali over at the Fox and Pepper concert right now going, where's my jacket? It has my phone in it.
When he gets here and joins you on the stage, repeatedly call his phone until he realizes that's what's ringing over here.
Oh, shit.
Do you have his phone?
I have no idea. Give it a try.
Here's my phone.
Are we testing it now? Let's find out.
I'm fucking still alive.
Yeah.
So I will tell the story of the birth of the Protestant Reformation occurring.
So because we do not have monitors, I don't know what you just said, but I'm going to go off of their reaction and say no.
Too bad, they donated the money.
Ah, fuck, I lost.
$200 and Ash doesn't get to tell the story.
How angry can we make the director of programming?
Folks,
let's find out.
We have an opportunity to create a new convention war story right now.
$1 million.
Or I'm just gonna skip over this. Moving on. Hi, you're all here, obviously, listening to us tell you horrible things that are mostly true. We say mostly because the deal has been changed to protect the guilty. And some of us are the guilty parties.
No, they fucking haven't.
I have plenty of stories about how guilty this one is.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you fucked up in a convention that I'm involved in any official capacity, I'm not protecting your ass. I will tell the furry fandom loudly, repeatedly, and in several different states how you fucked up.
Look!
I can't tell if he's looking at you or at Sparf.
I feel like we're supposed to be doing introductions at some point.
Oh, you haven't? I'm sorry, I thought it was late. I thought they were done.
No, you were 1 minute late!
You are very efficient! You're a lawyer! What?
This is what I put up with when I have to schedule these people.
Motherfucker, I didn't even ask for anything. You just sent me a list and said, here.
No, your spouse sent me a list, and I said, sure. Are you sure that's the only 14 things you wanted to do?
There was at least one fucking panel on main stage that both Alkali and I looked at and said, what the fuck is that?
Ladies and gentlemen, both and neither, welcome to Convention War Stories!
Woo! Woo! This is our mic combat.
Thank you so much. I'm going to try to not scream for the rest of this panel. I'd like to introduce our panelists. We're going to go down the table and tell you why we're ever, i.e. what we've done for the silly convention circuit in the past. Starting with Ash. Ash, could you tell them what you've done, just in general, for the convention circuit, what you have, what you're doing and stuff?
Let's see. So I'm on Anthrocon Sports currently. I was an assistant director of programming. I was a writing track lead. I was a writing track panelist. I've worked in publications. I think I've worked on almost every department.
So Ash has never worked at a convention before, obviously.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Who's to introduce yourself?
Fuck you. I am Boozy. Bow before me. I am...
That's, holy shit, there's people actually doing it.
I have been in one capacity at several conventions, and that is when you fuck up, I'm the guy they call.
And when we fuck up, you're the guy we call. Outside of the furry circuit, I am the president of a local theater company. I don't know. I fucking resigned the night before they elected me president, and they still did it now. So. Chairman of Basement Con?
The world's worst furry convention, Basement Con.
No, motherfucker.
Self-proclaimed.
That was the first attempt at a
And yes, yes, you are the chairman. Do not look at me like that's a question. I am finance, and I will not be changing.
I love it. You know what? I'm looking at it like it's a question because last year I found out Basement Con is a wholly owned subsidiary of Dragon Enterprises. This is not a fucking joke. I got a message from him last year that said, "Hey, heads up. Basement Con's a subsidiary of my company now." And I went, "Why?" And he said, "Insurance." And I said, "Fine."
Really quick, is there a specific reason that you think we might need insurance at Basement Con?
No.
Up next, Kiva, please introduce yourself.
So I'm Kiva. I am a multi-fandom, so I helped found a specific furry conference, and I am still the director of operations for that one. I'm also in the anime convention world. If any of you know a little tiny 21,000-person convention called GatsyCon, I am the deputy director of public safety there. I've also been an EMT for about a decade and worked professionally various conferences, including one called BronyCon that many people may also be familiar with. I was risk manager for BronyCon its last 5 years. So, no, I haven't been around any fans at all.
And Sparf, introduce yourself.
It's furthermore.
I didn't know if I was going to say this.
She's my ops director. I'm the vice chair, furthermore. I was one of the founding members. I was a semi-founding programming director. I'll tell you that story, maybe. It's not very funny. And then,
you almost didn't make
that
one.
Yeah, she almost killed me. I have done hospitality staff at cons at a certain late lamented or not lamented West Coast Pacific Northwestern convention. And I'm the assistant director. Yes, we are all very sad about it, I'm sure. And I'm the assistant director of programming here. I don't know how. I woke up one day and I had a radio with a lanyard attached to my flesh. Fair enough.
Does your husband say I could have you?
That really needs to not be taken out of context.
There is no out of context.
There's no way that can be taken out of context.
Shit. My name is Alkali. I was the con chairman of First Squared for many years, and I've done things. We will be joined later by Dragor, who will introduce himself then, but they just saved my ass due to a $420 donation. Pepper Coyote, keep a shirt on during Lighthouse. Let's talk about something else. Holy shit, tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that an indication that someone else should start talking?
That is the indication of, I have a question.
Yes.
So we've all run conventions. We've been part of this board or some way, shape, or form for years. So I need to ask all of y'all, what was the moment that you knew that you actually made the right choice? We don't usually talk about this in convention war stories, but I'm sappy and tired, so we're doing this. Whoever has a story, let's do, instead of just shitting on what we do, because we genuinely love it, let's start this one out with, what was the moment that you knew that it was actually worthwhile, that this is something you love and want to do? Because there is no one at this table who will ever tell you, we do not love what we do. We do it out of passion, and everyone who does it, if they're doing it the right way, does it for passion. So what's that moment, guys?
I threw him on the spot. This is fun for me. Since I asked it, I don't have to answer it.
Oh, who's alive?
Ladies and gentlemen, both of neither, give it up for Dragor! Well, you guys are thinking, Dragor, would you be kind enough to introduce yourself very quickly? And I'll tell you the question.
I have a question.
Oh, perfect.
Hi, I'm Dragor. I'm getting out of breath. The humid here is fantastic. I have never been so moist in my life. So I am a co-founder and current chair after this one at First Squared, our little pocket of furry in a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when we started doing this, Alkali Von told all of us to join. And one of my stipulations was, I at the time would wear very form-fitting spandex suits all the time with very off-putting masks and sunglass lenses for eyes. And I very commonly was the interface to the public of the convention. So many times I would be in all bulging glory greeting people for the first time. I'd go, what's furry? Hi, let me tell you. What should we do here? And I am very honest. I am always honest. Well, these are the family things. There are family things after 9 p.m., but after 9 p.m., our restrictions of attire loosen. It is your judgment call. We are letting you know. Anything that says 18 plus, probably should have bring your child to. And it's just upfront. And I have given this spiel many times, and it was Sunday, I don't know, 5 years in. And a parent with their child who had their own first pet they made together, I greeted them, I gave them the spiel, they find me on Sunday. So the mom finds me and wants to thank me. I'm like, why? I gave the spiel. And she starts saying how their child had certain disabilities and had many struggles, especially around communication. Didn't really have friends because that was very rough. I watched all weekend this kid in a fursuit head partial blend in. The mom is saying, we have been looking our entire lives for how to, she said Saul, I know she didn't mean that, but like from the parent perspective, they want their kid to thrive, and for the first time at a con, people on the stage helped run fulfilled that. That is why we do
that's
this.
Awesome. That's amazing.
Well said, Swan. Why do you do this? You got it?
The power.
Don't get me wrong, it's great.
Actually, it happened again tonight. I was outside, and somebody who was in the room walked up to me and said, I've caught the stuff you've done on YouTube, and it has helped me through a lot of really rough times, and thank you. And that happens at least twice a year at a convention. I get that, and that's why. Right off the bat, is being a part of something that brings people joy.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll go back to 2004 when I was still just teaching writing at AfroCon in Philadelphia. And I was stupidly getting an English literature degree, which I never used.
Wait, that's your degree?
I have a master's. Yeah, I have an English literature degree.
The number of tech people, I just have to say, Ash and I nerd out on tech all the freaking time, and I have not known once you were in the field for school.
So my, okay, side note for Dragor. My official set of degrees from the University of Pittsburgh.
We do not need your CV.
I'm sorry, not I need your tech degree.
We only have like 40 minutes left.
Okay. No, you know, I have control simple. But why I do this?
You have 40 minutes before me and Lucy go to bed no matter where we are. Choose your words wisely.
I do this because I was teaching writing, and several years later, I had several of those authors, right? And they just started writing in 2004, and in 2012, they came up to me and said, would you sign my first book? What? Well, you published me in this anthology. I'm like, wait, that's you? And that reminded me why I enjoyed it. That was really a big thing when I was teaching writing at the con full time, was I helped people find what they wanted to do, and I got the joy of being the first time something was published in the stand-up. And
So those people now have more books to donate than I did.
So mine's a little interesting. It doesn't actually involve the furry fandom at all. It goes to my anime con roots. So I said I've been an EMT for about 10 years. Before that, I was just kind of a first aid CPR certified, starting out at, you know, KatsuCon, whatever the fuck that was, 12 years ago. And I didn't really know at the time what I wanted to do with my life. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do, you know, con staffing for forever. And I remember one of the first emergencies that I had to do was, it was a 15-year-old that got into some liquor that she shouldn't have gotten into, and got drunk and got scared. And while we were waiting for the ambulance to get there to, you know, take her to the hospital, you know, just is the talking to her and calming her down, and, you know, just the relief on her parents' faces, someone, you know, was actually looking out for her and caring for her. And that's what got me into, I signed up for the next EMT class and joined a volunteer firehouse the next week.
Wow.
I do. I grew up in a volunteer fire department. My father was a firefighter, a fire chief. It was entirely volunteer. So, like, I always kind of had a feeling about, like, you know, how you do things and how you, you know, volunteer and how you help communities. And the furry fandom quite literally at a really down point in my life, like around like 2006 or 2007, quite literally saved my life. And so I knew from then on that I wanted to be part of a community, and I loved it so much. But, like, I wasn't really going to cons a lot then. I wasn't watching a lot. It was just kind of a tangential furry. And then when I started going to cons, I looked around and I realized I can give back to the community that is so important to me. So I everything I do, I it's hard to get me to say no to doing things. And so, like, I can do things everywhere, and I don't ever really say no because I just want to keep doing that. And everything I do is focused on the community and on the fandom and on that, and because it saved my life. And I got my MFA in acting by impersonating Uncle Kage.
What?
It's on YouTube still. I've uploaded the whole thing. My YouTube channel is Spark1. You can find it. But yeah, Uncle Kage and a few other furries. So once I got a taste of it and could give back, that's what I wanted to do.
Do y'all want a preview of an incident I probably caused?
That's the perfect start to this story. I don't even care what it is. What?
So I'm a Chicagoan, and I'm very surly about right-of-way with doors, and that if you are in a door and there are people behind you and you aren't moving, I will rectify this. If there are any complaints about a surly staffer saying, "Move! Push open the door. Use your arms. You are capable beings. I saw you do it. Push open the door and move your ass."
David, you are the cause of and solution to so many goddamn problems.
I unblocked the clog.
Oh my god, you're a dildo.
No, that
wasn't a wearable.
Oh my god.
Alright, this is Convention War Stories. I wanted to start off a little different because I've had a day. So that was fun for me. It's time that we go down here. Ash, you gave us your credentials. You told us how long you've been here. Why don't you give us an incident? Now, we have a rule here. It has to be more than 2 years old. But we've been doing this for quite some time. What is something that, looking back on it, now it's amusing, but probably in the moment, not so fucking much?
Well, I have to tell another one later because someone donated the obligatory money for me to tell the good story, so that's later. But we'll start with the not so funny one.
Okay.
So, who has heard Uncle Kage's story about the GP Japanese? Okay, so I'm going to tell y'all something. I was actually. So this is what action. Except I'm going to leave out. Well, I'm not.
I can hardly leave out a lot of it.
Fine, I'll say that one's 500.
What is going on at that side of the table? Are we bribing for company secrets over here?
Hey, yes. Alkali!
Yeah?
What's my staff job at this convention?
You are the convention lawyer. Ash, shut the hell up.
And he's also one of our charity and money-generating minions, so he's making sure I get my... So, actually, this one is about the first Super Rage, many years ago. So, you all heard the first Super Rage photo takes place now before the parade. Because one year it took place after.
Oh no.
The fursuits lined up in the main ballroom in 14 rows. And row two started singing My Chemical Romance Black Parade at the top of their lungs. I didn't mean this row. We suddenly become row 14. We then march through the convention center, up, down, up and down every aisle of the dealer's room, and back. And on to the balcony on the third and fourth floor, and line up the entire length of the convention center. And stand there. While the photographer is on a boat on the river taking the photo while the boat sails up the river against the current for 45 straight minutes. There were 1,700 of us on both balconies, and we were standing there as the sun was setting on us.
Oh no.
This was before fursuits had really good ventilation.
Oh no.
And it was worse for the people who weren't singing the Black Parade.
I would like to point out that when he described this photo, I had a flashback. That was my first AnthroCon.
Oh god.
I still have the high-res photo saved.
That is also when KP realized he was going to have to punish me by promoting me one day.
Boozy, at the time it wasn't so funny, but now you'll make some charity money for it.
I'm going to tell you a story. But before I tell you the story, I'm going to preface it. There are levels of I've been fucked up. Okay? If security stops you and tells you to stop doing something, you fucked up. If the hotel tells security to tell you to stop doing something, you fucked up. If the police are called, you fucked up. If you are pulled into con ops and the con chairperson gives you a talking to, you fucked up. None of those are as bad as when the convention lawyer gets a phone call about you.
Oh,
you fucked up. There I was at a certain convention in Wisconsin.
I can hold the hat over the con chair at the convention.
Enjoying my time, leaving, going home, getting home, and then I got a message from Alkali. And that message read, "Hey dude, would you mind flying back out here in a couple weeks for a meeting at the hotel?" And I said, why? And he said, "I'm going to need you to say yes or no before I continue."
You're a lawyer, I'm a comedian. commodities broker. Which one of us is better at negotiations now?
And I said, I'm not agreeing to anything. And he said, I'll buy you dinner at Fogo de Chao. And I said, okay, then. I said, so what happened? And he said, check your email. And I opened my email. There were two files in my email. One was the hotel security log for the weekend. The other was the door size security log for the weekend. I read both of those logs, and I just want to tell you, those people were two wildly fucking different conventions. Because the door size log would say things like, we had an incident of somebody partaking of a substance. They fled. We caught them and assisted the police in recovering what was thrown. Somebody locked themselves in the bathroom and refused to come out. We got a key, opened the bathroom, and assisted them to their room. Somebody was drunk in the lobby crying for being locked out of their room. We contacted their roommate and let them back in. The hotel security log said things like, we were advised that a person on the fifth floor had their door open while 10 guys ran a train on them. All of whom were wearing strap-ons. We later returned to the room to find the door open and the receiver on the floor. We helped them onto the bed and locked the door. We were advised that in the lobby on Saturday night, a crowd of people gathered around two gentlemen who were performing fellatio on each other. As the crowd chanted, eat the meat. Eat the meat. Eat the meat. I finished the logs and I sent back to my dear friend, what the fuck, and got back my flight information. What had happened was the hotel had received a number of reports that weekend from third parties who were staying in the hotel of things happening and put everything that they had received a report of down in their log. And the hotel now wanted to have a meeting, and it was very obvious that what the hotel was going to try to do at that meeting was use that as leverage to significantly renegotiate the contract. So I flew out, and the night before we went up to that meeting, they gathered everybody on the board over at Alkali's house. And we sat down, and I brought out my notes, and I went over the strategy for the next day. I said, this is what I do. I negotiate contracts. And the way that we are going to do this is we're going to point out that there's no real substantiating information for a lot of what they're alleging. All right, and that's the very first thing, so keep it cool. You know, we've got a member of the door side. I sent ahead and I said, I want a representative from the door side there because the hotel's log said the security force was unprofessional. And I said, no, that's not the door side. They've been doing this for years. We want somebody there to tell them exactly what the door side is. And we had the concept and it was just going over. So the next morning we meet and we all get into Alkali's car. We're driving the hour and a half up there and I'm once again going over everything. And I said, one of the ways that we're going to have to fight against this is by pointing out just how ridiculous some of the things that they're claiming happened are. Like the guy in the hotel room with 10 guys running a train on him. They said they had strap-ons. Why would they need strap-ons? And then Dragor said, you know, wearables are a thing. And I said, maybe you don't fucking talk. And Alkali swerved off the road. So So we got out there, we went in, and the hotel was right. They had the hotel's manager there. They had the service manager there. They took us down to a meeting room, and they're on one side of the table. We're all lined up on the other side of the table, and they bring out, I shit you not, a binder about this fucking thick. And we're sitting there, and they open the binder, and they say, well, first let's start talking about the condition of the rooms. We have some pictures here on the condition of some of these rooms when you all left, and we had reports of people going into renovated rooms, and I let them go for a little bit. I let them talk, and finally I said, all right, before we continue, do you have the room numbers? Well, no, but we can get them, okay. Do you have the names of the people who were in those rooms, who were registered to, so we can at least compare them against our membership list? They said, no, we get us. I said, what I'm hearing is, you don't have room numbers, you don't have names, you have nothing substantiated, those are even our attendees. So we're not going to consider any of that.
Oh, my God.
Now let's talk about the train. We have a report that you received third hand, because I noticed that none of these reports seem to have come directly from your security. Every single one says your security was informed by somebody else. Yeah? I said, do you understand how ridiculous these sound? I mean, think about it. There was a guy in a hotel room with 10 other guys running a train on him with the door open, and they all had strap-ons. Why would they need strap-ons? And the best part of it is when I started in on this, the food and beverage manager and the hotel manager looked at each other, and one of them took their binder and slowly closed it. And slid it to the next guy who picked it up and put it under the table. The best part came when I looked at them and I said, let's talk about Eat the Meat. I know your hotel and I know where the area you're talking about is located. It is between the bar and the front desk. Are you telling me that on Saturday night, a group of people gathered in a semicircle around two guys blowing each other in your lobby and nobody knew about it? Until someone reported it on Sunday morning. Well, where was your desk clerk? Where was your, why did none of your staff report this? Apparently nobody on your staff saw this happen, and the food and beverage manager, who was not fucking happy with me at that point, said, well, my bartender said she saw this. Your bartender saw two guys blowing each other in your lobby and didn't report it? That sounds like an employee issue to me. So we proceeded to negotiate the contract after that point. And several things went in our favor.
A few things. Here's a little factoid for you for contract negotiation. First Square pays for none of its meeting space. You know why? We ate the meat.
Oh, no!
Now, there is a point of technicality that was narrowly avoided, and that was there was a group of people in that area at that time loudly chanting in unison, eat the meat.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because we're in Wisconsin and someone showed up with summer sausage. No joke. I heard it. I walked by. I'm like, this is probably not good. It's just sausage. And I left.
Sausage.
I went to bed. Just sausage.
Just sausage.
Just sausage.
Just sausage.
The part I left off is we did actually go out to Fogo afterwards. And we all sat there. And they brought around little slices of steak and they put them on your plate. And it was me and Alkaline and Dragor and John the Human. And we sat there and we looked down at the plates. And as one person, we went, eat the meat.
Thank you all so much. I have to run and go handle a charity thing for the rest of the AD show. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for Greg.
Kiva, at the time, scary, now great story. What do you got?
Scary, gross, or just
meh? Oh, not gross. Let's not go gross. It was late, it is Saturday, and I've seen a lot of new people this weekend.
Where was I?
New people!
So because it said not gross, I won't go into the gory details, but a couple of years ago we did have this was not at a furry convention, but one of my other conventions, a gentleman who took a header down multiple flights of stairs. He's fine. He was not at the time, though. And he tried to then come back later to sue us, saying that we were negligent, and we were like, we have video of you going from the bar with all of your drinks, then looking at your phone, yeeting your phone down the stairs, and then trying to follow it with your body.
Oh my God.
And his lawyer tried to make the argument, well, why didn't you stop them? And I was like, are we supposed to teleport? By the time we could see that disaster was coming, there was no way we were getting there in time.
Why didn't you stop them? Objection, it was really funny.
The whole situation at the time was obviously, as you can imagine, complicated and very scary for everyone involved. And then afterwards, I was just, are you kidding me? You're the one shit-faced trying to follow your phone down a flight of stairs, and you're at fault? No, maybe, you know, less, next time, less alcohol and watch where you're fucking going.
Clearly the phone was at fault. Clearly! Fucking Sue Sprint.
Apparently the phone was more important than life.
I'm sorry, have you seen smartphones nowadays? Amazing. Smurf!
Scary at the time, funny now.
Okay, if you've ever had to do anything relating to graphic design, printed materials, like stuff for an organization, you know that, like, there's a fine art to this, right? You get, you know, you should check and redouble check and check. Now, the stress leading up to a convention starts to ramp up, like it is asymptotic to the normal plane, which is not a thing. I don't know why. I'm not a mathematician. I have a theater degree. So it just goes up. So we are getting our marketing materials for a couple of years ago. Furthermore, we're like, okay, yes, cool, that's fine. You know, it goes. It's gone through several people by the time it gets up. Oh, yeah, that's very pretty, very cool. All right, great. Everything's fine until we get to the con. Now, okay, I'm a history buff. I'm a history buff. So there's that anecdotal story about how, you know, Roman leaders, Roman emperors, have that pleb who rides behind them in the little chariot and the triumphal procession.
Remember, Caesar, thou art mortal.
Con runners don't have that.
Oh, my God.
We have Twitter. We have handed out these things. We've got the graphics up. We're all congratulating ourselves on being masters of the universe. And the tweet comes through. Bing! Someone looks at it. And it's an attendee going, Our slogan for the year was space theme. Our slogan for the year was boldly going forward.
Oh, I was dying. I know this. Oh my God.
So they're like, you got a typo. It says boldy. And we're all like, no! No, it doesn't. You just misreading it. It's a weird font. We know it. Boldy thing. Oh my fucking God! Boldy! He went through the art director, the artist, the art manager, two vice chairs, the con chair, made it to publication! Caesar is dead on the steps of Pompey's Theater!
Thank you.
Oh my god.
So you seem over that. Yeah, absolutely. Before I do this, I just want to know how many people in here have never been to this panel live before? Who's this their first time? Wow! All right. Well, that tells me what story I'm telling.
I forbid it. Yes, go ahead.
Not that one. That one. Oh god. Which what? Why? Oh, dude. Okay. Fine.
What?
Conventions make mistakes. These things happen. It went through how many levels and they didn't notice the typo? Well, there's another con that went through how many levels and they didn't realize their space theme probably wasn't a great idea to have a big red badge in the form of a rocket. That made it through the whole red
shit. Oh,
I didn't know you were here. I'm so sorry. No fucking mercy, bitch. I'm sorry. Love you, man. Cons make mistakes. And actually, this is hysterical because this story is about another person who just revealed to be here. Because we made a mistake, didn't we, Pandez? We made a mistake that we now call mistake. We created a panel called MST3K. You all know the show, you've seen it 100 times, Mystery Science Theater 3000. I grew up with it. It was one of the things me and my father bonded over. So when Pandez had the idea of, why don't we do that at a FurCon, we thought it was brilliant. And on Friday night, years and years ago, we decided to watch Battlefield Earth.
Oh, I know. John Travolta.
I know you watched it 3 times. You know why? Because we all said, everyone, watch the movie, come up with quips, come to the panel. You know what none of us did? Watch the movie. Dez said, the first time, then a second time to write, and then a third. Dez watched Battlefield Earth, a 3 hour plus movie. 9+ hours of shit movie. I understand why this happened. In 1 week. Well, yeah, no. Awe is the correct response. We actually all felt bad. But the show must go on, so we made it up for him in different ways. And how do convention organizers make up foibles to each other? Steak and booze. So for the panel, we brought out a bottle of ice peppermint-style liqueur, and for Pandez, we brought a bottle, a handle of Malibu rum, one
my
of their
favorite.
Absolute favorites. And we started the movie. And Pandez is killing it. It's really funny. But the problem is, no one's laughing, not because of any of the material, because they can't hear it, because the whole crowd is behind us screaming at this shitty movie, rightfully fucking so. We made a mistake. They don't need us. They don't need us to make fun of the movie. This is furries. The creativeness and the dick jokes. Oh my god, the dick jokes. Well, again, organizers, we're here, we're queer, let's do this. We turned it into a charity panel. Dez said, hey, if you pay us money, you can make drinking rules. I went, we're going to die. I love it. The first drinking rule came out, sorry, it's been a long night. The first drinking rule that came out was center screen wipe. Center screen wipe was, whenever there's a center screen wipe, drink. It was my goal, my job, to judge whether they had donated enough. You know, not the guy who watched the movie 3 fucking times. No, let's give it to the guy who has never seen it and doesn't want to see it. $20 center seat, center screen wipe? I'm a movie buff. When are they going to do that? Absolutely, that's fine. Allow me to describe the scene to you.
having a father, Sector Screen Wipe. I am his father, and I'm going to kill him. But I have a reason not to, Sector Screen Wipe. I hate my dad, Sector Screen Wipe. I have killed him, Sector Screen Wipe. Scene is over, Sector Screen Wipe, dead.
Oh, shit. We made a mistake. But we lived with it, and 3 hours later, this horrific movie ended, by the way, with a Sender Screen Wipe. And I stood up and I did my spiel. Thank you for being here. Charity, loving, caring. Oh, God, Pandez. Pandez is sprawled on the table.
Oh, no.
The Malibu rum, of which none of us really enjoyed, so very few people helped, was empty. And the bottle of ice was in their hand on the table. We politely asked everyone to leave. The security team helped us. We cleared out the room and we got ready to get our good friend up to bed so they could sleep off this outstanding evening. And as we went to move my good friend Pandas, as we tried to sit him up, Pandas yells out,
wait a minute. Chair, you have been supporting me all night. I farted four times and you didn't care, Chair. You did not care. Chair, I love you. Fuck! Pandas said I love you drunk. I'm screwed. It's time to go. The chair doesn't matter, Pandas. We gotta move. But what does Pandas want to do? Table. Table, I was asleep on you. I was asleep. No one lets me sleep on them anymore. You held our drinks for the whole convention. I love you, Table. Fuck you, Tablecloth. They're just throwing shit at this point. We couldn't tell if they were doing a magic act or just trying to break everything. We get him off the chair, get him away from the table, to the door, and all of a sudden, they go like Garfield in your car window. Door! Oh, door! You kept the riffraff out. But God damn it, Des! We're kicking him out the door. He's in the hallway. Potted plants, thank you. Pictures on the wall, I love you. Random strangers, not part of the con. How has your convention been going? You look pretty. Did you come from a wedding? Like, ah! We got him to the elevator. We get him in there. He shoots his hand out and hits 14. We don't have a room on 14. They go, I've been here all week and no one hits 14 and needed love. We did it. We're there. We're in the hallway of Pandas' room. I'm so excited. Bed is soon. And I love bed. But that's not where Pandas' lust went to in that moment. Because in that moment, Pandas reached back into his childhood and pulled out Dragon Ball Z, because that motherfucker went Super Saiyan. Threw his arms off. Everyone helping them was thrown aside as Pandas reaches out and puts his hand on the fire alarm. But even I'm not that stupid and went into the room.
Oh my God.
Everybody, before we continue, Alkali has a hat in front of him. And Alkali is going to throw his hat out to the audience and pass that hat around. And if you can give to the charity, we'd like you to put money in that hat. But if you can't, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Give again offline. The fuck? He's taking off. No, don't give the animals more money.
Tee-hee-hee, fuck you! I'm joking, thank you very much.
Alright, before we go on, we just did some long-form stories. Let's change it up a little bit. I like to call this segment Out of Context Radio Calls.
Oh. You do know what I did for a living for 6 years, right?
Yes, I do. That's why I know this one's going to kill. All right. To give you an idea of what's about to happen, there are two types of radios. There's a hot mic, and then there's a naked mic. Basically, we're talking about in your ear, no one else can hear it. Hot mic is, it is blasting out around you. That's really the only context you need. Out of context radio calls, who's got one? Ash?
Where is the loo?
Oh, no.
Perfect.
Followed immediately by, who has eyes on the razor blades?
What?
You go to interesting conventions.
That was here.
My statement stands.
It was the chairman asking.
My statement really stands. Oh, I remember Lube Night. All right, who else?
Does it count if I was the hot mic?
Absolutely.
I'm breaking the rule because this was this year, but I don't care. I'm not looking for sex. I'm looking for drugs. Get the fuck off of me.